Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners.
No prisoners.
1 minute, you're up 500,000 in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
Hello and welcome to Turner's Take Podcast. I'm your host, Craig Turner, author of the Turner's Take newsletter, broker here at Daniels Trading and Stone X. Work with hedgers and farmers and producers and consumers. Work with speculative traders in the futures and options and OTC markets. Anything from online trading, broker assisted, a hybrid of the two, and managed products. Also, if you have any questions about what we do here, feel free to contact us. All my contact information is in the show notes and at turnerstake.com. If you'd like to check out the newsletter, go to turnerstake.com, or you can take a look at it by texting number 33777-33777 with the message Turner. Send that off, follow the instructions on your phone, and you can get it that way too. If you're a client here and like the ideas we're talking about, please give me a call. If you're not a client here and interested in what it would like to be working with us, my number is 312-706-7610. All right, so the news Turner's Take newsletter that's going out today will have the podcast and the charts and the tables that I talk about that are included. This is not going to be a long podcast. My mind has not changed a whole lot from last week. So I'm just going to send some more supporting information on why we're bullish the grain markets, and maybe we can update a little things on levels, and hopefully, you know, this week and next week talk more about trade ideas and things like that. For the macro markets, what it really seems like is there's not a whole lot of news. Everything seems to be political right now in the macro markets. There doesn't seem like there will be any stimulus until we have a new Congress in place. The presidential election is still ongoing. We'll see what happens there. And it doesn't look like the Fed is going to do a whole lot right now either. So I think it's going to be steady as she goes between here and year end. I'm not expecting a big breakout either way on any of these prices. Coronavirus, there's been great news on developing vaccines, but that's going to take some time. So I think the big money will not want to flee the stock market knowing there'll be some kind of vaccine coming out. And who knows if it's 3 or 6 months or whatever it is, but it will be arriving at some point. And I don't think the market's going to tank when we have these lockdowns. Everyone knows what the lockdowns look like now. So there may be some reduced economic activity, but we're not going to see crude oil go below zero. You know, maybe it goes into the mid to high 20s or low 30s. Maybe that would be the big drop if we have, you know, another kind of lockdown for a few weeks or a month or so. But, you know, food and commodities should still be in high demand. Energy prices will probably be range bound to the low side. Copper will probably be too, you know, for a while until we can get through the winter. But after that, you know, because the futures markets are so long term in nature, they're always looking at, you know, where are we going to be in 3 months, 6 months, a year? There's probably brighter days ahead. So the short term might be choppy, but there's going to be, from the long term money view, a bigger, probably better days ahead, right? And that'll be supportive of the market in some way, shape, or form. That's the macro environment that we think we're heading into and we're part of right now. So what does that mean for the grain markets and our positions and hedges? What we're going to be looking at here is today, the grain markets first. The exports have been very good. I'm going to include my first table in Turner's Take newsletter. It'll be also part of the blog post on the Daniels Trading website. It's going to have our export sales progress analysis. You know, right now, we are running 15% ahead of the USDA pace for exports. So right now the USDA says we're going to export 2.65 billion bushels of corn. We've already we're ahead of pace, and if we stay at this pace, we could be at 3 billion for exports. I don't think we'll be at 3 billion of exports. At some point, if these exports continue, prices get high enough where you discourage exports, or even if the exports get that high, you'll discourage other things in the United States like feed. Like you get over 450, especially $5 in corn, you stop, you know. I was talking to one farmer today. You know, instead of throwing two shovels of corn into the feed for the hogs, you might throw one. You know, you see more wheat being used. You see other alternatives start popping up. Ethanol margins also, you know, discourage the use of corn and production there too. So, but we can see, I did on my tables increase exports another 200 million, which I think is appropriate. What it ends up doing though is it brings the ending stocks to corn to 1.5 billion, which is about a 10% stocks usage, which means corn deserves to be $4 across the board, with old crop potentially rallying into, you know, the 450s, maybe higher, and it allows new crop to rally to the 420, 430 range for Dec 21, and that's what that means. So that export table that I included in the show notes and in the blog and the Turner's Take newsletter, that's what that's about for corn and what it means for corn. And then underneath that export table, what I also have is my corn and soybean ending stocks with increased export pace. And for the soybeans, I did a little something extra. So if we look at the export sales progress, again, and you can check this out in the show notes and in the blog and the newsletter for this podcast, we are well above export pace. On soybeans too. Now, this is interesting. Last WASDE, USDA increased the exports for corn because clearly they need to be. What they didn't do was increase the exports for soybeans. They kept that the same. Now, if we assume that the pace, you know, this pace of a huge soybean buying keeps on going, you know, we get some ridiculous export number of 2.8 billion. We can't do that. The USDA says we have 2.2 billion. And that leaves us, and that's with a 200 bushel carryout. So in theory, and it can't go above probably 2.3 or 2.35 and still have a minimum pipeline of soybeans in the United States. So we can't be 600 million above. If we are, there's got to be some extreme price rationing, right? Which there still could be. And also, there's also the crush. You know, could the crush come down? It could, but the crush usually stays pretty constant. What I did do is also include in my ending stocks table for soybeans is included the 2013-14 marketing year, just so everyone can see how tight stocks got. And you can go back and look at some charts, but soybeans generally traded between $12 and $15.50 that year. And we have bigger production than we did back then, but we also have a lot bigger use. One thing I will definitely stress is, you know, the crush is pretty consistent. It's very it tends to be very inelastic. If people need soybeans and meal, to some extent oil, but definitely the meal, there's really no substitute on the protein level for that meal. And you know, I think I had some conversations. I would say, you know, what could it be where exporters would, you know, for exports, could that, you know, take away from the crush? But think about it this way. If you're local and you need soybeans and they're there, and then someone halfway around the world needs soybeans, odds are the guy down the street's getting them, right? Instead of incurring all that freight cost and the time and the shipping halfway across the world. So people, there is definitely a home court advantage in the soybean demand world. And you tend to, the domestic market tends to get it and what they need at whatever price there is for the most part. And then the export market has to basically bid up the market. And we're not there yet, but we're gonna be. I mean, I don't see how we don't get there. And when you take a look at these tables, you'll see it too. So it was very, excuse me. So it just presents a very bullish situation for beans. I've been talking, I think I was in the Wall Street Journal earlier this week, and I was quoted as saying, South American weather doesn't improve, and we have reductions this year. We're going to see beans in the teens. I think I'm in the printed edition on that, and I stand by it. If the South American weather does get worse and we do have lower yields in South America, I do think we're going to be beans. The beans will be $13. You can make the case based on the stock to usage, percentage and you know, days on hand of supply, that we could already be there now. And if the funds had more firepower and weren't already so long, they probably could drive it up there. So it's going to be interesting what happens here. At any point, soybeans can sell off 50 cents. If it does, if that should happen, it's a buy. It's just a straight out, you know, get a little exposure. My personal favorite right now is soybean oil. And I've been talking about that a lot. But corn looks good too. I can see March corn trading up 460, 470. Given the right conditions out of South America and the demand staying strong, I can see soybeans going through 12 and, you know, being 13 as, you know, if demand staying the way it is and South American weather not improving. It is certainly a possibility. The big story that I've been saying for months now, and it's still the biggest driver and the best bull story in the grain markets, is soybean oil. Vegetable oil is the tightest one out of the corn and soybean complex. You know, palm oil, canola oil, sun oil, they're all expensive. They're actually more expensive than soybean oil, and they're tighter. What we're going to start to see is soybean oil is the cheapest. And soybean oil closed above the 2016 high today. I want to say it was like 38 and change. I'll have a chart. I'll have a chart on it. I mean, really, if we chart the charge higher in soybean oil, I think we do. The next resistance point target on the chart is 45. Just for, what is that, a 33%? I mean, let's see here. 45 divided by 38. 20% higher, right? 20% higher we could go. I think we could we go 6 or 7 points higher in bean oil? I think we could. So I've been liking soybean oil too. It's not everyone's favorite contract, probably, and only because people probably are more used to trading corn, wheat, and soybeans, and not so much the soybean oil or the meal. But soybean oil I still think is the best story out there. And I like buying the futures. I've been buying calls and selling puts. We've been doing call spreads. Anyone who's interested in it, let me know. Give me a call. We can figure out something that's appropriate for your account. As far as the farmers out there, I've been buying call spreads and selling puts. And if you want to get involved with that, let me know. I was doing July calls, buying the July corn's around 430. We were buying 430 calls, selling the $5 call, selling a $4 put. And when corn was about 10 cents cheaper, we were selling the 390 put. And we were doing that. I don't know. It wasn't even money. Maybe it was a nickel. But the idea would be, you know, we're probably, I don't see a ton of risk in July corn below 4 if we're going to be 1.5 billion bushels or tighter with a strong El Nino going on in South America. And I know farmers don't want to hold on to old crop corn forever. There's a lot of old crop corn that got stored. Now is old crop. So last year's crop all got sold out. The crop that just got harvested, a lot of it got sold. A lot of it got stored. A lot of those beans got sold. A lot of the corn got stored. Anyone needing some cash flow or just, you know, if you're starting to get good prices for the corn or you want to speculate, reownership, whatever it may be, 430, the 430, $5 call spread selling the $4 put was something I really liked. And I've been doing variations of that with different months and different strikes, depending on the trader and the operation. But the reason why I was picking that $5 call strike as my target to the upside is just that when corn gets to $5, you need a really good reason for that to go beyond $5. I mean, at $5, a lot of things start to change in the corn market. And, you know, at a 2.7 rate price ratio, $5 corn's like $13.50 soybeans. It's, we're talking like, you know, $7 wheat if wheat's the least bit tight at that point, or $8 wheat if wheat's the least bit tight at that point. But it probably won't be. Corn would be tighter than wheat in that scenario. And what you would see is you'd see more feed wheat. You would see less feeding on the animals because the margins wouldn't be as great. So you wouldn't see any kind of expansion in livestock. Probably see a contraction in livestock. You also see the margin on the ethanols not working, on ethanol not working at all. And that's what. And also too, you know, you just see you can there are some ways to substitute corn out for other products, unlike soybeans, where the meal is, it's kind of like spring wheat. When you get that high protein wheat, you can't, it's hard to find a substitute for it. Same with the meal, it's hard to find a substitute for the meal. What's interesting about the vegetable oil story is that that is mainly a foodstuff, and it's a hard substitute also, and it's also going to see continued demand. So I like, I mean, if I, number one, I like soybeans. I guess you can pick your poison on the meal, the oil, or the soybeans itself. It's kind of like being bullish crude. I mean, do you like crude heating oil or RBOB gasoline? You know, if crude's going to go up 20%, those products are probably going up around 20% also, right? They don't generally. I would think the same way as for the bean oil. So that's my favorite one of the choice, but if you go with corn or soybeans, what I like about bean oil, it's got about the same size and contract value as corn. You know, corn at $4 is a $20,000 contract. $4 times 5,000 bushels is $20,000 worth of corn. The margin might be $1,000, so like 5% down. You know, with bean oil trading at 36, that's about a $21,000 contract. You know, 36 times 6. So where are we now? We're about 38. 38 times 6. About a $22,000 contract, and that also has about a $1,000 margin. Oh, it's almost like the same size of corn. I know sometimes people don't like trading beans because it's so big and so fast. So if you're almost like looking for a corn-size contract for soybeans, bean oil would be your bet right now. Meal's probably going to go up higher too, I would think, just based on the demand. So that is that. The last thing I'll just touch on here is South American weather. I'm going to add some charts here. It looks like we're going to be dry. I'm looking at the November 18th to 26th map. The northern part of Brazil and the eastern part of Brazil will get some rain. So that maybe even a little bit more than normal in terms of percentage-wise. But the central part and the southern part won't, and it looks like Argentina is not going to get a whole lot of rain either. Going out into the second week, you get a little bit more rain in the southeast part of Brazil, but still fairly dry. And when I take a look at just the percentage map on the bottom, and you'll see this too, you know, we're either going to be at normal levels or below normal levels through much of Brazil and Argentina, which is not good for – that's the last thing they need. They need crop development. They need rain. They need rain just to germinate properly. I mean, we are so early in the season. Everything's so dry, and we're off to such a bad start. I'm surprised we're not higher, but I also know that the market's waiting to see if we get rain, because if we do get starts and rains, we can see sell-offs of 50 cents, right? You get a nice rain in South America, you can see beans down 50 and corn down 20. I still think that'd be a buying opportunity, but you can definitely see it. I can see why maybe we're not seeing the funds exactly press their bets right now. There's always there's an old saying, bull markets always let you back in. Sometimes it's the cash market slows down and the basis weakens and then the futures sell off. Sometimes it's a rain event. Sometimes you just don't see any export sales for a couple of days, and bull market always needs to be fed. So if you do see these markets come down like that, I think it's an opportunity. If you need help getting in, getting out, managing the trade, managing a hedge, managing a marketing plan, let me know. My number here is 312-706-7610. If you're a client, want to get more involved, or you just want to talk more, or you just want to check in, again, give me a call. I will. I'm always available during business hours. And if you have my cell phone or email, you can text or email me. So that is the podcast for the week. A lot of information is going to be in the Turner's Take newsletter. I'll also post that on the podcast blog and the show notes. If you are a member of the media and you want to verify me for a quote, let me know. That's been actually pretty busy these past couple of weeks. And I'm always happy to do that too. And also I will be doing some online webinars for anyone in the grain business there. All right, everyone, have a great week, and I will talk to you soon. And be careful out there. These can be some wild markets, but a lot of opportunity. All right, have a good one, everyone.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels trading broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore, investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniels Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniels Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.